The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Audio 161, the very special edition. This is Jeremy, and joining me this week is the real Mr. Eric Nelson. Hello, Eric.
You son of a bitch. You threw me under the bus last time I was on the show.
Yeah, well.
Here we are. You can tell it's me, too, because this is the lo-fi edition of the audio.
Yeah. This is the one, it used to be the asshole edition, which would probably turn into that anyways, but then it also could be the tin can edition, because, it sounds like we're talking a tin can, and
like
we're off and running.
Some, you know those Progresso soup commercials where they talk into the tin can? No, you have TiVo, so you fast forward through everything. I'm still watching shit on a console TV.
You know, I know that's not true. And if it is, just don't repeat it. Because, wow. I would have figured, ball and chain would have made you throw that away. Wow, that's disappointing.
Well, that's why they're ball and chain.
Yeah. All right. since this is the partial asshole tin can edition, the tin can asshole edition, that works.
There you go, the old TCA edition.
Yeah, we're gonna change gears, and I'm gonna do something that Kevin and I never get around to. And when we do, it's only in passing. We're gonna talk about TNA. They're coming off of their Bound for Glory pay per view, and a whole shitload of news for them. None of it. I was gonna say a talent aspect. None of it, but it will affect the talent, I suppose.
None of it makes TNA look good, that's for sure.
Yeah. The first piece of news was last week, was it? Or maybe a week and a half ago, that Vince Russo is no longer the lead writer or head writer.
Yes.
And he was replaced with,
Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love.
Okay, so it was Bruce Pritchard. Okay, I got my people mixed up, that's what I was trying to look. Yeah, good old Brother Love. And now it's coming out that he's also the head of talent relations as well.
Yes.
They
basically invented a new title for him. They're like, okay, we've had this guy who worked for WWE for about 20 years. We've had him under contract for a few months. We're not utilizing him to the best of his abilities. So and I guarantee you there's more shenanigans behind this. This is the guy that basically invented the Brother Love character so that Hulk Hogan could get over by beating him up on a weekly basis. They thought, okay, Hulk Hogan's in charge. He doesn't like Vince Russo. Maybe they started to realize that things were going in the can thanks to Russo. Let's take this Pritchard guy that Hulk Hogan loves and create a whole new title for him. And so he managed to leapfrog over Vince Russo, who everyone's like, now, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Vince Russo is still a very integral part of our wrestling company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect, which we'll come back into. Dave Lagana of IWantWrestling.com, I think it is. His Twitter handle is IWantWrestling. You know, he was very critical of everything WWE related because he used to write for him and for Friends.
okay, he just kind of snuck that in there.
Yeah. He is now signed up with TNA in a writing aspect as well. So they've two significant changes to the writing staff. Apparently, Russo's power, whatever, has... they tried to sugarcoat it and say that stuff will still be run through him, or he'll still be running stuff through others. But you got to figure this is the death blow. He's just collecting a paycheck now. I mean,
you know what though? How many people on that fucking in that company are just there collecting a paycheck due to the ineptitude of management? And actually, that's probably not even true. Honestly, if you think about it, a lot of these people aren't getting paid. They're out there collecting food stamps because they're not getting paid. But on that like upper level of management / main event guys that they just like throw bad money at. And I'm making hand motions for some reason, even though no one can see me pretending to throw money. they're not using Vince Russo. They should have fired his stupid ass years ago. And I shouldn't say they're not using him. If they're diminishing his role in the company, fucking fire him. Quit paying him exorbitant amount of money that you are. Just fire him.
Yeah, but doesn't that go back to the whole Dixie Carter's very loyal to him and very loyal to other people in office, so they do keep him around?
Yeah, well, she needs to learn how to make money. She's not a businesswoman. See, that should be a definition. Yes. Like, let me go back to our original drummer, and I don't think he listens to this show, and I used to badmouth him all the time, and now I kind of feel bad. Our old drummer wasn't a drummer. He was a guy who owned a set of drums, okay? Dixie Carter is not a businesswoman. In that, in my opinion, the definition of a business person is somebody who runs a business that makes money. That'd be like calling us businessmen because we have Gun Granny. You know, she's, so she can be as loyal as she wants to, but, I mean, she's a terrible business, terrible business.
I wish I had something to add on to that, but, I mean, it's at the point where the jokes are even getting hard with her. Where it's just like, what's going on? I mean, you can call her a non-businesswoman. It's hard to disagree. But you can't joke about it. That's the problem. That's why I've just kind of been stammering. Like, I'm trying to think of anything.
I don't know, man.
Well, to back up to the Russo thing real quick, though, this is one of those cases where I just say, good for you. It sucks. Obviously, it sucks being taken, your power being stripped of you. You're doing less now, but you're getting paid the same. So, good for you. I mean, as much as people may not like him, I know Dusty apparently loathes the guy.
Well,
I mean,
yeah. But you know what? From the Russo point of view, it's the same as you and I talked about over IM last week when it came to Jim Ross. Here's a guy who's increasingly more and more vocal against WWE and what they're doing, and we can hash over whether that's legitimate or not. I don't care. But like we had said last week, when it was like, they're fucking with him. WWEshop.com is the only place you can buy his barbecue sauce, beef jerky anymore, so they're going to screw with him because they got him, by the short hairs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, good for him if he's going to stick around and collect money.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing when he goes to sleep at night that he's a better person than they are, good for him. I've always sided when it's on that side of the coin, I've always sided with the people who get to collect money. I'm not saying fire Vince Russo because I think he doesn't deserve, I deserve what. Okay, let me rephrase that. He's never earned
money. Oh, that's too bad.
He's never now. I'm not going to let you get away with that one so easy. That asshole's never earned a dime in professional wrestling. He might have written some promos for The Rock or something, but he's never been a part of drawing a fucking dime for in professional wrestling. But, so in that case, he hasn't earned it, and I don't know if he deserved it, but I guess what I'm saying is I'm not being Jim Cornette over here and saying take away a man's livelihood because I have a personal, personal beef with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But from the business side of things, fire him because he is dead weight and he is costing you a lot of money.
Yeah. But if you I'm having a hard time today. I don't know why. I guess I'm just not used to this. the phone thing. But there are so many other people in that company as well that the same thing should be applied. So it almost feels like, just singling out Russo seems kind of silly. And it goes to the point where Bruce Pritchard today is now saying that they're going to expand the roster.
Oh my God.
this is the reason we wanted to talk TNA. He gets in, he's head of talent relations, and he says, everything's opening up, we're going to expand the roster. Now, I don't want to go to TNA site because it's going to scream at me, so let me turn the volume off.
All right. Does it still do that?
The last time I visited, yeah, it did. I mean, it all of a sudden, Borash just came out screaming about something. And I guess, do we have to start calling this place Impact Wrestling, or is it TNA? Because all their logos have the TNA logo, and it says TNA Presents.
You know what? I've never heard the company say, we are no longer called TNA, we're called Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
To me, it's always going to be TNA. I'm always going to call it that until they officially change their name. I'm not going to be one of those assholes like, I grew up with WWF. I'm never going to call it WWE. And then, like, 6 months later, you don't even realize you're doing it. But to me, it's still TNA. You know, everything about it is TNA.
Okay. I'm sorry I went quiet for a second, but all right, I just counted the amount of wrestlers on the roster page of TNA, okay?
Let me guess.
And
it's between 56 and 64, isn't it?
61.
61. There you go.
But that includes TNA. I think Don West is on here. So you got those guys, but they put, I mean, and the best part is it says wrestlers roster, which that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be including them, but, you know, whatever. So it's got, let's go with, what would you say, 54? I think, okay, I think 54, 56 probably is correct, taking them out. At least they don't have the referees listed here anymore, so that's kind of nice. How the hell do you expand a roster with 54 people on it? What kind of credibility are you giving your job that there are 54 wrestlers, and that includes women, but
yep.
54 wrestlers, and Karen Jarrett,
yep.
And I just saw her on there. What kind of audacity does that take to tell guys who are in this company who don't get on TV, but, you know, as I say that, I look at this roster going, oh, my God, they've actually fit 54 wrestlers on the program a week.
Yeah.
For 2 hours? Holy shit. Only a couple haven't been on here. But,
bad, isn't it? Isn't that amazing that oh, my God. Unbelievable. And, okay, and just, I don't mean to, like, jump all over your point or anything.
That's all right.
If you look at their house shows, I love the way they do their house shows. They have 6 matches. They last a long time. You might probably get a few 20-minute matches, actually, and I think that's great. I think the way they do house shows is great. Now, if you think, okay, 6 matches and maybe 2 of them are tag team matches, that's 2, 4, 6, 8, that's 16 people. That's 16 pieces of talent getting booked for a house show when they have house shows. And it's becoming
mm-hmm.
a little more regular. And as we all know, as has been said many times and documented in a lot of places, TNA wrestlers do not get paid unless they appear somewhere,
mm-hmm.
unless they're booked on a house show, unless they appear on television. Which is one of those reasons they try to cram everybody on television. So you can give everybody, it's like a fucking, for like biweekly welfare check. You know, oh, we'll give you a couple, $500. Well, I promise we'll put you on TV. And nobody gets over because they try to squeeze 54 people on television.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, here's a guy, Dave Lagana, who wrote for a TV show that had 6 people on. And it was the same 6 people every week for a half an hour. And granted, they had some ancillary characters like Magnum P.I., or fucking Paul Rudd was on once, or Jon Favreau was on a couple of times, and that fucking gay coffee shop guy. But otherwise, you had a cast of 6 people on a half-hour show. I could see a legitimate reason to say, a correlation to say, okay, we got a 2-hour show, let's just stop at 24. All we need is 24, and we're only using, what I say, 2, 4, 6, 8, 16 of them on house shows anyway, so good. Now Wade Keller gets his way, and a third of the roster gets a vacation every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But no, what do we have? We have 54 people being paid a pittance and collecting food stamps because they can't go work anywhere else because TNA's got them by the fucking dick hair that way, too.
Yeah.
And then,
but then also
and
from
now Bruce, my friend, now Bruce Pritchard in a press release is saying we're going to expand the roster. What a dumb fucking company.
Trying to figure out how to steer it. The one thing also was bringing in 54 people. Like this week, apparently they did not bring people in because of how they're booking a TV show. So that's smart right there. It sucks for the wrestlers, but it's a smart business plan. I mean, you bring in 54 people to work them in for a five to 10 second spot. Now I know that you're filming like 2 to 3 weeks of TV, which needs to stop, but whatever. And that's a lot of money. Because you got to figure, they're flying them all in. They're paying the hotels, catering, all that. If you get your shit together, reduce what you've got, that's less cost. That's less overhead for you.
It's like Bobby Heenan, when Bobby Heenan said to Eric Bischoff, every week on Nitro, you fly in 20 guys from Mexico with masks. No one knows who they are. Why don't you fly in 4 guys in 20 masks?
We'll get to business in a second as well. But
there you go. Nitro is another perfect example. For, you know, three years, that company had like 85 or 90 wrestlers under contract, and they would fly almost literally all of them in for Nitro. And then within about, you know, an hour of the show coming on the air, they'd be like, all right, we're using these 20.
Right. Yeah, and just wouldn't use them, period. I mean, at least in TNA's case, they get them on some sort of FaceTime. Whether you like it or not, there is that FaceTime.
Yeah, and Mountain is a TV show that's so frenetic, you can't even stomach it. You can't handle it. It's like that Japanese cartoon that the Simpsons watched, and they all fell and had a seizure.
I don't think I've seen that one, but oh my god. Alright.
Anyway.
There we go. Yeah, sorry. You go too deep with the Simpsons. I just forget about the stuff. Now there's so much to work in on TNA, just kind of all over, but going to the expanded roster, Melon, we haven't played the TNA roster game in a while. We haven't played the roster game in a while, period.
I'm going to go ahead and overpromise, on the possibility that we're going to underdeliver, and I'm going to tell everybody that sometime in the next 4 weeks, we're going to have the TNA roster game posted. It's an annual thing. We try to do it in October. We might have to spill into November due to late planning, but we are going to have a TNA roster game in the next 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We need to, because just looking at this roster, there's a definite need for it. So knowing they have 54 people, as the new head of talent relations or whatever, Bruce is bringing his knowledge in television production, writing, and talent relations at TNA. Okay. The appointment of Bruce Pritchard as Senior Vice President Programming. I think I'm in programming? Of programming and talent relations.
Okay.
So he is the Vice President of Talent Relations. Now, that probably means that there's some sort of senior manager for talent relations because, as we all know, in corporations like this, you build at the top. You don't want a solid footing.
God, no, of course not. You only want two or three people really handling everything that's being rained down from above, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much how it works. That's why everything's run so efficiently in this country. I'll be curious to see what yes men he surrounds him with, to where somebody didn't speak up when he goes, we're going to expand the roster. That there isn't somebody going, what the fuck are you talking about? How many people can we possibly have for a two-hour show? At least WCW could say, well, we've got two-hour Nitro. We've got an hour of WCW Saturday night. We've got Thunder as well. You know, so you got your 5 hours at least, and then not including a pay-per-view.
Right.
But in this case, it's a two-hour show a week. Do they even do Explosion anymore? It has been so long since I've paid careful attention.
I think they do, but honestly, I don't know where it airs. I know it airs in the UK. I don't know if it airs anywhere in America. And to me, that doesn't count. I mean, you're you're playing to an audience, and the majority of their audience, I'd venture to guess, is here in America. So it doesn't matter if Amazing Red is having 20-minute matches on Explosion when your primary audience is seen. So I don't know. For the sake of discussion, they have 2 hours of primetime TV on Spike.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're going to put Amazing Red on TV, I think Explosion is a good place to start. Because the twofold thing with expanding the roster is you're increasing overhead. You're bringing in more guys, so you're going to be paying more money out. But then at the same time, you've just got nothing to pull from. You have way too little time to use them all without cutting some heads.
Yep.
And this is, like I said, we're not doing a TNA roster game. But you've got to, if you're going to supposedly expand the roster, you have to expand it with a lot of subtraction. I think it would have been comfortable with him saying that it would have been a roster overhaul.
Yeah, there you go. Which just goes to show you the amount of media relations and like PR and just general like massaging of the English language this company is capable of. This is the company that sent Hulk Hogan out to do media leading up to Bound for Glory. And as if anyone who actually watched him on Fox News or anyone who watched him on Sports Nation actually follows TNA, which they don't, here you have Hulk Hogan saying, part of the main event's Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode, but there ain't no way Bobby Roode's going to win, brother. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect them to come out with a press release that says we're expanding our already overinflated roster that we can't hardly shove into our 2-hour primetime slot because we're idiots.
Yeah.
How we talk.
Yeah, and I also wonder how much pull somebody can have as the vice president of talent relations, how they can have any pull, how Lagana can have any pull when you've got, and I know Bischoff has denied saying that, you know, he's included with this, but he is in our production meeting. You know he's got his say. So you've got Jeff Jarrett, Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, Dixie Carter, who probably just sits in the corner just going, let the men talk, which is very admirable. I wish there were more women like that.
But
and then because Terry Taylor's gone, you still got Vince Russo, who's probably just sitting next to Dixie going, this is awesome. You should have done this a long time ago. Meaning, you pay me for doing nothing. Thank you, stupid. And as she talks, he just goes, hey, back to doing what you're doing. Back to the women work.
Zip it, Chuck.
And then you've got Bruce Prichard and who's the other guy? I already said Lagana.
Yep.
And I don't remember who else is on their bookings. Does Boras still sit in on these and Tanae?
I think they sit in on it, but I've never gotten a feeling like they've got any more power like they used to.
Okay.
Like when Scott D'Amore was around and they had a big booking committee. I don't think
Tanae
and Borash have that kind of say anymore.
Well, and that's fine. But that's also what I'm getting at is there's going to be way too many people talking, way too many personality conflicts, way too politicking. Nothing's going to change. And the big thing was you mentioned it last week on IMDb before Bound for Glory, was Hulk Hogan going – and remember, Hulk Hogan is also one of the main guys behind the scenes. You know, even if he says he's not, he's there for to pump up the test, whatever. You're lying, and that's fine.
It depends on who he talks to and who asks him. Because he has flat out said, TNA Impact Wrestling, I run that company, brother. Yeah. You're fucking Tall-Tale McGee, at 3:00 in the afternoon, he runs the company at 3:30. He's just kind of around to inspire the wrestlers, brother.
Yeah, but I also find it funny though. He says he's running the company, but their TNA suit management, whatever you want to call it, even though we're saying he's part of management, they're the ones that exercise the option on his contract.
Yeah,
his contract was coming up. If he ran the company, well, he could have renegotiated and got and just pilfered some more money out of him.
Right.
But instead, they make it sound like they're like they, whoever they are, you know, one of those sort of deals. They're the ones that brought them back in.
God, let's not bring up they again, because they spent fucking 6 months trying to get Abyss over using the
oh,
concept
God.
Of they. Let's
That's,
not talk
I
about
totally
they.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, which is it? And I get the feeling that that was a move made by Dixie and Hogan. They put that story out there so the talent didn't go, fuck.
Yeah.
He exercised the take the heat off of him. Because there's a stories on from the Torch, it's on the Free site, about the decision for Rude not to win the TNA title, which I found hilarious. Especially the way it went down. If it was just one of those where Kurt Angle and Rude tore it down for 30 minutes and Angle just, you know, beat the guy,
yeah,
you can't complain about that. That's just drama. And it may not be what you like at the end of the story, but at least it was a satisfying ending instead of the horseshit they pulled again.
Yeah, instead you get a 14-minute match where everybody's arms and legs are all under the bottom rope. But Kurt Angle's injured, and they say so at the beginning of the match, and then nobody gets over because it's a piece of shit match. It was a piece mm-hmm. of, with a piece, piecier of shittier ending.
Yeah. Which, well,
you know, ultimately, here's my thing. I have an idea, and it plays into the reality that Vince Russo likes. That's about all it plays into. Oh, it gets Jeff Jarrett on TV too. Here's what we need to do. Okay, they've done they. They've done, like, a powers-to-be thing. They've done the Hulk Hogan versus Sting for Dixie Carter to get possession of the company. They've done the Dixie-Jeff Jarrett thing. They've basically done every possible, like, who owns and runs TNA thing. Well, now that Pritchard is there, you know, he's taken bumps before. I don't know that he's not an accomplished wrestler, but he knows how to take a bump. Here's my idea. Four corners. It's at, what's the next pay-per-view? Sacrifice?
Okay.
Sledgehammer? I don't know. St. Elmo's
yeah.
Fire? Here's,
yeah, you stuck
okay.
on that one, but okay.
St. Elmo's Fire, December 14th, live on pay-per-view. Four corners, main event for control of the company. It's in one corner, Bruce Pritchard and Dave Lagana. In another corner, it's Jeff Jarrett and Karen Angle. In another corner, it's Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter. And then in the fourth corner, it's Vince Russo with a mystery partner. But the mystery partner is Dixie, who turns on Hogan 15 minutes into the match by hitting Hogan over the head with Jeff Jarrett's acoustic guitar. While after she pokes Dave Lagana in the eye with a pencil because he's a writer. And then Dixie goes with Vince Russo because they've been fucking on the side this whole time, and that explains why he's still employed with the company.
Hey, you lost me. Like,
and then Abyss comes out and masturbates all over everybody.
No, then Shane comes out and says, I just bought TNA, so there's yet another person.
I was talking to Dusty earlier today about the Dolphins and the Broncos playing next week. I said something about 70,000 people coming to the Miami Dolphins game and something about being in disgust. You're like, you seriously think they're going to sell that game out? Oh, no, probably not. Oh, I know what it was. He said, how do you think that game is going to end, a 0-0 tie? And I said, I think that game is going to end when 70,000 people spontaneously vomit all over each other. That's what happens at the end of the pay-per-view I just booked. St. Elmo's Fire, December 14th. The pay-per-view ends with everybody vomiting all over the place.
It's actually called Turning Point, and it is Sunday, November 13th. And they've got Jeff Hardy on the poster for it, even though he's technically not an active wrestler, because they haven't accepted him back yet.
Prediction,
so,
Matt Hardy
yeah.
is going to get that poster and roll it up and snort a huge line.
So he's been awful quiet. No, that's right, he's in rehab. Uh-huh. but no, going back to the Hulk Hogan thing, I just realized how awful that was. So here's a guy who's supposedly not in power, but yeah, he goes on a radio station, or was it ESPN? You sent me the link, and I forget
ESPN,
it already. But
Fox, Busted Open, everything. He was on.
Yeah, and basically badmouth the guy who's in the main event. Now, I remember telling you, I thought it was just an in-character sort of piece, But then it just turns out, no, he's just going on all these shows and saying the same shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, but, I mean, but that, to me, just shows, you know, Logano can say what he wants. Pritchard can say what he wants. Hogan's going to run that show. And then it came out on the Torch where it was Hogan's decision, apparently, to pull the plug on Bobby Roode winning. So then, you know, apparently someone called him out on Twitter, and Hogan replied, this is from the Torch, this site, cool, it's just the beginning, or cool out, it's just the beginning of something really big, brother. In other words, no, it's not. I didn't want him in,
Everybody who says that in pro wrestling, by the way, it's the start of something bigger, brother. Like when Matt Hardy got his ass handed to him by Edge at that SummerSlam 2005, I think it was.
Yeah, yep.
And then Hardy's like, don't you worry, Matt fucking fanatics or whatever you call them, mofos or whatever, Mattitude followers, it's the start of something bigger. And 6 years later, a piece of shit, badass, drug-addled, hillbilly ass in rehab. So, yeah, it started something a lot bigger.
Yeah, that was, well, yeah, he won the next match, I think. Somehow he came out, but then they had that the big blow off, the best of the best of three or whatever it was. They didn't, you know, qualify like that, but, and then Edge and Lita embarrassed him on Raw, and he got kicked off of Raw, and it was like, so where's the big things coming? It's not. Okay. So, and the reason I said ooh earlier, whatever, I'm looking at the pictures from Bound for Glory because I read the results. I saw some of the videos. I didn't watch it because no one in their right mind should pay for anything from this company.
No.
And that's kind of sad because the in-ring aspect should be good, but they just shit on it. And there's a picture of Samoa Joe laying on the ground, and it looks like he's full of tumors. They should have never... It's an action shot, obviously, and... They should have never posted.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but they should have never posted that picture.
For real.
It makes him look terrible.
Like that early episode of The Simpsons where Homer is getting his body mass index, and he's like, he's screaming, "Look at that blubber fly!"
All right, I remember that one. Okay.
That's the most in an action shot.
Yeah.
It looks like a plate of, you know, like when you pull out a tray of, like, dinner rolls out of an oven.
Yes.
That's what I imagine that picture looks like.
I'll try to remember tomorrow. I'll send you the link for it. Then also, there's a picture of Ken Anderson. He's grown his hair out, and it's gone to brown or whatever. He looks ridiculous. He doesn't look like a wrestler at all. I mean, say what you want about Bully Ray. At least he fits the part.
Sure. I mean, Bully Ray is a big guy. And, you know, we rightfully poked fun at the Dudleys for being fat like a year and a half ago. But, you know, Bully Ray probably looks like Dusty Rhodes did when Dusty Rhodes was main eventing and selling out arenas across the country. A guy like Ken, like 199-pound Ken Anderson doesn't look like a pro wrestler.
No. He really doesn't now. He just gave up.
It's like that prick that you try your absolute hardest to avoid at the bar.
Yeah. Well, depending on, you know, what you're looking for, I guess. Like anything you'll do.
Yeah.
But God, we are all over the place with it. But there's just so much wrong that bringing in.
Are we ever going to get back to the idea of expanding the roster?
Well, but okay, yeah, but that also goes. All right, sort of.
Okay.
I'll try. Let's see if I can do this.
Okay.
So with all the people in power, he says they're going to expand the roster. There's a ton of shit on the roster already. So, say he goes out and goes, all right, well, who's out there to get? Do you honestly think Hogan's going to go, I heard about this human tornado guy. We should bring him in. You know, it'll never happen.
Oh, God, I wish. Oh, my God. No. If fucking Human Tornado came out of retirement to TNA, I would start watching TNA.
But no, but you see, I tried thinking of the most, not obscure, but the most ridiculous possible person. And
no,
I mean,
you're
as,
exactly right.
As entertaining as he is, you can never see Eric Bischoff or Hulk Hogan going, that's a good idea, bring him in. So
no, absolutely.
The power part is going to mess this up anyways, and especially when it comes to getting rid of people. They're not going to get rid of Abyss. They're not going to get rid of Scott Steiner. I mean, they
no.
should, yes, but
yeah.
to make room for a Human Tornado or El Generico or, you know, Prince Nana. And this is why I know this is why I wanted to get to it, but the expanding the roster part is, who the hell's out there?
Let me draw a connection here, too. Let me draw a connection to Bruce Pritchard. His current job, as I'm understanding it, based on the title alone, compared to what Jim Ross was doing in, like, 94, 95, 96, 97, and a couple years later, as the guy who was out there scouting talent and was responsible for hiring and firing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now let's go all the way to the top and say Vince McMahon, back in those days, as the guy who was making the ultimate decisions on who got on TV and how much they were on TV. And what you're saying is you got a guy like Hogan who's probably pulling more strings than he lets on.
Mm-hmm.
You got an idiot like Dixie Carter also running the company who lets someone like Vince Russo write her TV for her. And you can hire all the Stone Cold Steve Austins you want, but they're going to be turned into ring masks. And you can hire all the Dwayne Johnsons you want, but they're going to be turned into Rocky Maivias. And there's nobody in TNA that's smart enough with enough power to turn them into Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock later down the road. And at the same time, you got a guy like Lagana who's going to be out there trying to get his I Want Wrestling cronies on the show. Hogan, even if they got those people got hired, Hogan would never go for it. So you'd end up with is either an expanded roster of guys that, like a Bruce Pritchard or a Dave Lagana, is like, here's some young guys that deserve a chance. And then they get hired and they get 30 seconds on TV every week because Hogan doesn't want them.
Right.
Or, God forbid, you get the Hulk Hogan traveling 2011 tour and you get the Nasty Boys back. You get Coco Beware. You get Greg the Hammer Valentine. And you get Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And then Bobby Roode gets to put all them over every week.
Yep. And we already saw that with the Nasties. When they came in the first time.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I actually came up with some more for the list. I don't know. I haven't heard of these guys in a while, though.
Okay.
There's the Powers of Pain, Warlord and the Barbarian.
okay.
Who else was there? Well, the Natural Disasters, that's not going to work out so well.
What about Axe Smash, of Demolition? Those guys are still touring around as Demolition these days.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know, that's true. I was going to include I fucked it up. Oh, well. You know where I was going with that one. No, I actually had another.
I hope you're going to go with the Big Boss Man and Akeem of the Twin Towers so Hulk Hogan could give the Twin Towers the big boot again.
No, I wasn't actually. I was going to go with Demolition could bring out Crush as a third man, and then I was going to go, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah,
so,
okay, I got you.
It was better it didn't even come out. But no, still, at first, I don't know if anyone even understands the reference you just said, but just in case you're listening and you want a totally inappropriate laugh.
Did you just say Sid a second ago? I thought you just said the name Sid. I think Sid would be on Hulk Hogan's list, too, if Hogan had
Oh, God,
way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, what I was going to help the people listening with was the reference you just used. If you go to Google and type in Hulk Hogan Twin Towers in the images, it will not be Hulk Hogan and Akeem and the Big Boss Man, but it will still be awesome. So, who the hell else was it? I don't know what happened to Haku. You bring him out.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the Hulk Hogan's Traveling Friends 2011, so why the hell not?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
Give him some time to grow the hair out, but have, oh, no, he was Ming. That's right, he was Ming with the big-ass whatever. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Honky Tonk Man's not doing anything.
No, he'd probably do it. Oh, no, you know what, though? He's under a WWE Legends contract, I think. I'm not sure.
No, but he made that big deal about turning it down.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So unless he changes his mind, so there. But, I mean, I think everyone knows where we're going with this, though.
Yeah.
One, Hogan will try and pull in these and name the people. But then secondly, who is out there? And I know everyone's going to be like, well, there's this obscure Japanese guy that wrestles in Upper Pennsylvania for Pennsylvania I Don't Give a Shit Wrestling. I mean, you should know who that is. Well, no. That's the whole point. We don't know these guys because there is no buzz about them. So, you suggested...
The seven people listen to the show know who Joey Ryan is.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody in the goddamn world knows who Joey Ryan is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, are you gonna fight for Kevin Steen? Probably not. Are you gonna fight for Star Renaro because he was in that documentary with Colt Cabana and Brian Danielson? No, Star Renaro is not gonna get picked up.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I actually have started to really enjoy that Pro Wrestling Ohio, there's Matt Dog, there's Matt Cross, N-Dog, Matt 20, or, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm with you,
Whatever, I got tongue-tied, but, and none of those guys are ready the guy Crimson, Kevin and I have talked about this, you know, before we talked about last week. He was trying to get into TNA, so they just fucking stole his gimmick, broke his name to somebody else, and gave it to Sting.
Yep.
So... And he would have been fine. It could have been a nice spoil for Abyss, but that ain't happening now. And
nope.
But so the obvious names are all. It always comes down to where they can raise Ring of Honor, and I remember you even mentioned it. But Ring of Honor smartly has tied some of those guys up in contracts.
Yeah, they've done that. That's very smart. That was very smart of them. So, I mean, when you're looking at the indies, you can't really look at Ring of Honor anymore. So that's why I kind of went to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. At which point you were like. Who the fuck is in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla that they would ever pick up, which goes back to your Hulk Hogan point. So,
yeah.
So point well taken there. No, I mean, to be honest, we can't even list other names, you know. Anybody else that's worth a shit right now is tied up for at least the next couple months with this Wrestling Revolution project.
Yeah.
Chris Cabana should always be everybody's number one draft pick when he's a free agent. And now he's tied up with Wrestling Revolution, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then also, I mean, well... Go ahead. I mean, interrupt.
I was just going to say, to me, that's the beginning and the end of the conversation. Because, as we've established, nobody else on the indie, like, in the indie darling realm is worth picking up right now. And I apologize to anybody out there who, none of them are listening, but, you know, sorry.
Yeah. Now, some do. We know that.
Yeah.
I think another problem is, well, not another problem, but some other names out there. I mean, MVP's out there. But he also was tied up with the Wrestling Revolution. Ken Doan, remember him? But he's tied up as well.
Yep.
So it's like anybody who possibly could have
and,
is
you know,
tied up. Now,
try to go back to those glory days of OVW, back when Dusty was getting the videotapes and then sending them to me and I never sent them back. You know, Matt Morgan knows about some of those guys, but that was also 7 years ago. So, you know, are you going to go pick up Mike Mondo? Are you going to go get Johnny Jeter? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But at least those are names that we still remember.
Yeah. Well, but I'm also surprised TNA hasn't gone after that Luke dude from Tough Enough.
Yeah.
And just like, blah, 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 blah. You know, didn't make it. So I'm here to prove myself. Just, you know, I'm honestly surprised. Not that it's a good angle. Not that it is, I think it's smart, but. It would have been something.
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of a different point. But no, it's the same damn thing, though. I mean, I think the Briscoes just re-signed with the Ring of Honor. But could you imagine them on a national stage? Seriously?
Not their act. No, not as their act is right now.
No. But I mean, how do you change their act to go to a national program? You can't. That's those dudes.
Yeah, that's right. It would be have to be a complete and total overhaul that would be completely not believable. You know, I can at least accept the fact that the masked superstar became Axe. But, you know, what the fuck are you going to do? Turn the Briscoe brothers into the Beverly brothers? No.
Well, Walnut has to start wearing his teeth again. Say it's Jay, right?
Yeah.
So.
You brought up one other name that wasn't the Ultimate Warrior earlier today that almost piqued my interest, and that was Batista. Now, that's not really expanding the roster because that's only one person, but at least you brought his name up.
It ain't happening. That was more of a, I'm going to go after Batista. That guy seems to have the kind of ego, if TNA called him, I think he would just laugh. He'd take the call and go, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
do you know who I am? And just hang up.
Yeah.
And then,
I'm Dave Batista. I was in a movie called The Other Side of the Track.
Yeah. Well, I've got one of his movies in the Netflix queue. I think it's Amy Smart's in it. So I'm just waiting till it's time. But I think you mentioned Chris Jericho. That ain't happening either.
Never in a million years would he lower himself to TNA.
No. Why would you do that when you can travel with your band, get on your TV show still? I mean, do you want your name coming up as Chris Jericho, TNA wrestler?
Fuck no.
They don't even call themselves superstars. But
yeah.
But no, this is what we're getting at, though, is these are the guys Hogan would say, yeah, we're going after them. And these are the guys who are going to say, no, fucking chance. Even Colt Cabana said he makes a decent living now to where he doesn't really need to go to WWE or TNA or anything like that. Now, I'm sure the money was fine. You know, they're wrestlers. They make a living wrestling. But I can't see how TNA could offer him money, the money that he would want, or I would think demand, but not, you know, that's a strong word, but command, I guess.
Sure. TNA wouldn't offer him a guarantee. That's the thing. They don't perceive him as Kurt Angle, Sting, whatever. So he would go in there. He wouldn't get a guarantee. He'd get a few good paydays to start off with, and then he'd totally drop off their radar, and he'd be screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's
because he would have that smell on him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, look at R-Truth. Hell, look at Christian for the longest time. Christian was an established WWE guy, left, went to TNA, had a run where he lost, two matches his entire time there. Go to WWE, they introduced him on ECW TV, not even a pay-per-view, left him there in purgatory for a while, and it took his friend getting hurt and retiring to get any sort of rub. So, I mean, I think the stink of TNA is a legitimate thing. And I think that if you want to make better money, you're working your ass off with travel and that, but you hold out for WWE. We could talk for hours on TNA, but there were some. I don't know if we made any points or not, but whatever. let's just work a little bit of WWE in since we were going that way. You wanted to talk about Raw for a little bit, and that's fine. I caught pieces of it. I have to go back and watch the whole thing tonight sometime.
I have exactly two things worth talking about when it comes to Monday Night Raw. One, since we just mentioned Batista, we can talk about Mason Ryan. Is he the Ahmed Johnson of 2011 or what? And I know people thought Ezekiel Jackson was, but that's because they're racist and Ezekiel Jackson is black.
I don't think pointing out similarities in skin tone is exactly racist. I mean, they're giant, big, burly black dudes with bald heads and red trunks. You know, they're kind of they're a shitty wrestler, so it's kind of the same thing. I mean, if he had one of those breathe right strips, then, you know.
What was the deal with Ahmed Johnson wearing two pairs of knee pads, and it looked like, follow me here, around his waistline, it looked like he had, like, Campbell's soup can label. But not label, Campbell's soup can lid, like the round lid around his waistband.
Okay.
anyway, okay, Mason
Ryan.
It's on Matt
Johnson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mason Ryan's maybe more similar to an Ultimate Warrior type. Like, he's trying to run around the ring. He's trying to, like, his music is even supposed to be kind of, like, high-energy, snappy. He's growing his hair out. He's obviously on steroids. all he can do is body slam and clothesline. Last night he went to pick Dolph up for a body slam, and I'm like, oh, imagine that. This big fucker, like, they did that with Ezekiel, you know, where he literally would body slam a guy five times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Mason Ryan is doing, is body slams and clothesline. And punches and kicks. But
see,
somehow, I fear that they're going to get him a little bit over, like more over than they got Ezekiel Jackson.
I don't think that'll happen. Not in his current incarnation, because for me, everything, his entire act, is focused on his hair right now. you just told me what he did in that match, and I can't get around the fact he has a dopey 1950s paperboy haircut. And he's built.
It is,
I mean,
greasy and dark black, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. But then it also, the fake tanner, just it almost like it just stimulates the black dye in his hair. It looks repugnant. And then he's all greased up. It's a gross package right now. Him smiling is ridiculous. And I know
him is a baby face. He's turning into one of the most miscast wrestlers on the roster right now as a baby.
Yeah.
I know you got to start somewhere. And they'll turn him heel soon enough, trust me, but.
But he was a heel and it was effective.
Yeah.
He was an effective heel before. I don't know why you messed it up. But no, his entire package is terrible. So I don't think there's any chance he's going to get over with the way he is right now. Turning him heel, I think he just becomes a Chris Masters type, which is another guy TNA could go after. He's the new Chris Masters. Until proven otherwise.
Maybe this is where you and I disagree. I feel like he'll get over just a little tiny bit. I bet he gets over more than Zeke. I feel bad saying it. I'm kind of getting sick to my stomach, but this is where you and I are going to differ. We're finally disagreeing on an audio.
I just don't see anything in Mason Ryan, though. I mean, there isn't one identifiable piece of him for, like, the main audience, unless you're thinking the little kids, but...
I don't know.
I'm
not going to fantasy book what it's going to be, but I think it's going to happen. They're going to give him the U.S. title here pretty soon. There you go. I swear to God, he's going to parallel Ahmed John. Ahmed beat Goldust for the Intercontinental belt. Mason Ryan's going to beat Dolph Ziggler. He's going to skyrocket until about 2 months later when he punctures his kidney, and then he's on the shelf.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Otherwise known as failing the wellness policy. Okay. The other point I wanted to make, though, I know it's old news. Macho Man Randy Savage died what seems like a year ago now. And ever since then, CM Punk has been doing the top rope elbow drop. Man, that was over last night. He stood on the top rope, and he really milked that whole thing that Savage used to do where he point up in the air. And he milked that, and the crowd was going nuts for it. I loved it. The fact that he got over an old wrestler's old finisher, hats off to CM Punk. I think that's fantastic.
I think it's kind of cool that a new move is getting over. Unfortunately, it's been wasted, but it's being used by a wrestler who's already over. I think it'd be a lot cooler if it was, I don't know, Evan Bourne got his move over. If Kofi Kingston did it and he got it over, oh, God, I can't believe I just used that with you.
Nope, bad example.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody else on WWE. All right, Daniel Bryan, we'll use him because he needs a move that gets over to get the crowd into him. If he was the one doing it and it was getting over, it'd be more exciting. I'm not saying it's not cool, it's not good news for Punk or anything, but it would be way cooler and a better story if it was a guy that needed it.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's still pretty cool because you don't see that very often, especially you also wonder if the people in Mexico, and I know we talked about this, but we're not going to right now, that the people in Mexico maybe are a little more educated and understand what he's doing, where the American audience, the children have no idea that's Randy Savage.
Yeah, there you go.
So, that's one of those
I don't know. And the more I think about it, the more CM Punk reminds me of Macho Man Randy Savage. He could go back and forth between babyface and heel, and you'd love him to death or you'd hate him and want to murder him. Great promos. Smaller guy that worked his way, you know, struggled his way up to indies and then into the WWE and then up to main event. I think that's the story. It's not a story that Jim Ross was going to tell with the headset on commentary, but, you know, I guess you could say kind of the same about Daniel Bryan, except for the promo thing. But
he definitely needs work there, but I'm stammering because that was one of the segments I didn't see. So I'll have to go back, but it wouldn't surprise me if it does come off as it's just the Mexican crowd being way more educated, and that's not knocking U.S. audience, like their current audience, because, they've basically gone back to the well to get new people.
Yep.
So they may not know, but
yep.
All right. Well, I know your phone's going to get ready to die here soon, so we better get moving.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully everyone enjoyed our rambling, whatever that was about TNA. Maybe back later this week. I'm not sure what Kevin's got planned. So if we're not back, I know we always say we're going to do another one and we never do. So, whatever. All right, let me get this part done. Contact us. You can contact us at stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at stuntgranny. I'm at grannymaze. Kevin is at TheFrango11. Dusty is Dusty Gaming. Eric Nelson is whatever. Kevin's not here for some smart-ass one. comment on this audio in the blog, in the comment section, actually, on the site. And also, we keep forgetting to say this, you can actually subscribe to these now on iTunes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So if you want to just give our site the big fuck you, that's fine. Just subscribe to us at iTunes. As long as we do it correctly, they do pop up in there. I test it every week, and we're doing something right. So,
Hey,
1 out of 10 ain't bad. So, I'm going to take off. I'm Jeremy. Thanks for listening. Eric, sign us out.
And for everybody else in the Stunt Granny crew, Kevin, Dusty, Dan, Jordan, God only knows who else we got around here. This is Eric Nelson. Thank you for checking out Stunt Granny Audio number 161. Peace and chicken grease.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?